Do you want to know what makes an eyelid grow? Then everybody watch Dean Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome back to the Dean Show. This is part two. We were covering the top five arguments for the existence of the creator of the heavens and earth. When we come back, we've gotten to number two, so we're counting it down. You don't want to go nowhere. We'll be right back to continue this fabulous show. We'll be right back on the Dean Show. Assalamu alaikum.
Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
Why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice. Assalamu alaikum, my brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right. May peace and mercy of the Creator be upon you. That's what we just said. And so our audience doesn't have to take an Arabic class. For all our non-Muslim guests, our brothers in humanity, who I always say we want them to be our brothers in faith.
Inshallah.
We want the best for everybody, don't we?
Yes, indeed, indeed.
We want them in paradise. Because what do you got of this life? You live a short life. Maybe you have all the money. You have all the wealth, you have the big house, cars, but eventually you're going to die. So I think this is a very serious topic because death is something that we can all agree upon. We're going to die. So we need to take these things seriously, don't you think so?
It's very important, very important. Life is very short and we have to, God has given us, like in the Quran, God has mentioned close to 750 times to think and ponder, to reflect, to investigate. And inshallah, like we mentioned in the last segment, Chapter 41, verse number 53 of the Quran mentions that God has given us signs both in the universe around us and within ourselves that this is the truth. And inshallah, we are going to investigate more and provide the answers that this is indeed the truth when we reason out using science and logic that there is only one God and this is the guidance from God.
And that's the thing, Islam doesn't push away science. It doesn't persecute people of science as some religions have in the past. The more deeply you look into the wonders of the world, everything that you find today that's been confirmed, it goes hand in hand with the Quran, doesn't it?
Indeed, indeed it does.
So let's go now and continue on giving the five top arguments for the existence of the creator of the heavens and the earth. We went from five, four. You ready for number three?
Right, so let's just briefly say that we went over the reason from biology.
Biology.
That testifies to the existence of God. From biochemistry, we give evidence that the cell cannot have came about by itself. It is so complicated and efficient. God has to be the creator. And now, inshallah, we'll touch upon argument number three, two, and number one, inshallah.
So if you didn't see arguments five and four, you can go back to thedeenshow.com, thedenshow.com. You have your own private section there. People can see some of the previous shows we've done. Take it away with number three.
Number three is dealing with the evidence from physics.
Physics.
Brother Eddie, was physics your favorite topic in college?
Not at all.
Not at all. But we'll just touch upon it, inshallah.
Yes. Okay.
Now, there is a theory or fact in physics which is called as the second law of thermodynamics. It's a very big word, but it's very simple to understand. It basically says that things move from order to disorder. For example, suppose if you don't take off this place, if you don't take care of it, eventually, you know, the paint is going to peel off, the dust is going to pile up, and eventually, you know, things are going to disintegrate. So from order to disorder, this is what this law says. Now, if you take this law to the logical consequences, this whole universe is a big system. It is also has to move from order to disorder. So what the scientists have said that if long enough time passes, that means we will be in the total state of disorder. You know, each single atom within myself, within the whole world out there, they are moving, they are revolving, each single atom.
Yes.
Electron and protons and neutrons within each single atom. All that energy is one day going to expire. So we will be eventually going through the heat death of the universe. So that is what eventually will happen if long enough time passes. So when we converse with the atheists sometimes, or people who deny God, they say that this world is in existence forever. It is infinite.
That's what they say.
That's what they say, right? It has always been like this. But according to the second law of thermodynamics, if long enough time passes, we'll be in a state of total chaos and heat death. That means I shouldn't be speaking. There should not be any sun, moon, or any motion to begin with. That only happens if long enough time passes. I'm speaking, you're hearing, right? You have the monitors, you have the lights up here. That means we are not in the state of heat death, are we?
No.
We are not. Since we are not in the state of heat death, that means long enough time has not passed. If long enough time has not passed, that means the time began, the universe began. If the universe began, that means anything that begins to exist has to have a beginner.
Yes.
And the beginner, we Muslims say, is Allah. Quickly summarize. Anything that begins to exist has to have a beginner. And this universe, it began to exist. Right? Because we are not in the state of heat death, it is only finite in time.
Yes.
If it began to exist, the universe, that means someone has to begin it. And that beginner of the universe is the creator himself.
None other than the creator of the heavens and earth. Not a man, not a monkey, nothing in creation.
It cannot be, because if creation did not exist, how can it create itself?
Definitely.
Right?
So this is argument number 3 with Dr. Sabil here on The Dean Show. We're going to take a break. I know you're excited. We're counting down. We've gotten from 5, 4, 3. We got 2 and 1 left. So again, all we ask is that you have an open mind, humble heart. And if this is starting to make sense, it's going to continue making sense, God willing, and then hopefully you can do the right thing and accept the truth and let it penetrate. And then, as they say, the truth shall set you free. We'll see you in a second here on The Dean Show.
Allah, there's only one God.
When you look at the Bible and it says the earth has 4 corners, that's wrong.
If any Christian can point out a single unambiguous statement where Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, says that I am God, I am ready to accept Christianity.
Back on The Dean Show with Dr. Sabil, giving you the top 5 arguments for the existence of the creator of the heavens and the earth. To many people, to the vast majority of the world, this is apparent. You just have to look outside and you see the sun and you see the mountains and you see this universe and you see the different colors and shapes and sizes. It's something that just any rational human being, even if he didn't agree with the religion or man-made religion organized by man, he should go a little bit further. And hopefully this show will stimulate him to turn that light back on, to continue the same way a person looks for the material things and success in this life, he'll look for the ultimate success, not only in this life, but also in the hereafter, because we, as we said, we're all going to die. This is a serious topic, and we're counting it down from 5, 4, 3. Are you ready for number 2?
Number 2, inshallah. Let's go for it.
Let's go. Number 2, here on The Dean Show.
Number 2 is the evidence from the fine-tuning of the universe. Now, an analogy really quick. You know, we are sitting in the studio up here. We are sitting down on the chair. The chairs have to be arranged in a proper way. the cameras are focused in such a way that they don't point down to the floor or up there. They're focused in the right place.
Yes.
You have the proper lighting. The whole thing is fine-tuned so we could have a proper friendly conversation up here.
Absolutely.
So as we are sitting down here, how come we are not floating? How come we are not, you know, crushed ourselves? That means there is enough gravity to hold us down in the right amount of gravity so we could sit down properly.
Specifically here on the Earth?
Yes, on the Earth. So suppose if the gravity was a little bit less, we would be floating, okay?
Yes.
Just imagine. Or if the gravity even is lesser, we'll be floating off into space.
Yeah.
If the gravity is more than what we have right now, that means we will be crushed ourselves on our own weight. We won't exist.
We don't think about these things. Amazing.
Somebody has placed the right amount of gravity on Earth.
Just the right amount.
Just the right amount. The air that we are breathing over here right now. The air has to contain about 78% nitrogen and about 21% oxygen. Suppose if the oxygen percentage was higher or lower, that means the way that we are breathing,
what would happen?
We won't be able to survive the way that we are surviving right now. So it has to be exactly the right amount.
And it is exactly the right
amount. It is the right amount. Who placed the right amount of oxygen for us to breathe? For us, for animals, for the plants to survive?
So if somebody brings you a cup of coffee and it's just the right amount of sugar, because some people won't drink the coffee if it's not just the right amount of cream and sugar, and it just happened to come to you, and it's simple examples, and now you just said, you know, oh, this coffee's great, just the right amount of sugar. Who put this in here? Oh, it just came like that, just happened.
Yeah, and we are just when we're speaking about coffee, we're just speaking about one human being, you know, for our taste buds.
Yeah.
But over here, we're speaking about life and death.
Exactly.
Life and death, okay? Same way, suppose if the shape of the Earth and the distance between the Earth and the Sun, it is exactly the right distance. If it were any more closer, we'll be so hot on this Earth, life would have perished. If we were a little bit away from the Sun, it would be too cold. Even then, the life would have perished. So there are so many parameters, so many different variables, which are so fine-tuned on Earth, in our bodies, within ourselves, and in the universe, that they cannot have came about by chance.
This is amazing, amazing, amazing. I look at some gadgets, some things you can't understand, but you can't deny it because you don't understand. You open up, let's say, a car engine, or you open up a computer, or some high-tech piece of machinery, and if you're not versed in that, if you're not an engineer, and you don't know about this gadget, there's no way. You look at it and you're like, this is amazing. All these little fine instruments inside and everything is running according to its precise mechanism. It was built for a purpose. You can't understand it, but you don't deny it. But some people don't understand and they deny. It's amazing. And we wouldn't deny that this piece of machinery just came by chance, would we?
No, because there is so many variables, so much fine-tuning in there. The right amount, the right place, the right distance, the right shape. For the Earth, for the body, for the cell, for the whole universe, cannot have come about by chance. It is impossible. If you do the theory of probability in math, it will go beyond 10 raised to the power of minus 50. And anything beyond that is in the range of impossible.
What if I just took the alphabet, A to Z, and I threw it in a garbage, or I threw it in a pot, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, what would be the chance if I just took A, and I took B, and I took C, and I just started taking them out. I threw them in there, shook it up, and I just start, and it just lined up A to Z. Is this possible?
Or for that example, suppose if you have a big jar with all the alphabets in there, if you throw the alphabets, they're not going to form letters, chapters, words, instructions. They're not going to do that, no matter how many times that you keep on throwing that. And how can we imagine the genetic code inside the body, the fine-tuning of the universe, all the small mini-city inside the cell, running by itself, by chance, came about by nobody. That's not possible.
Not possible. Yeah. We're almost running out of time, and we have made it to number one. Are you ready?
Let's go for it, inshallah.
5, 4, 3, 2. And the number one argument for the existence of the creator of the heavens and the earth here on the Deen Show. Take it away.
The number one argument is Quran itself. Quran itself, which is the word of the Creator sent to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Creator. The Quran has many different miracles inside it. It has the linguistic miracle, It has the prophetic miracle, means all the prophecies. It has scientific facts. It has historical facts. Comprehensive guidance. But since we don't have time to dwell upon all of those, let us just touch upon the scientific facts of the Quran really quick.
Mentioned in the Quran.
Quran is a book that was revealed 1400 years ago. During the time, there was no technology as we know of. No Hubble telescope, no microscope, no ultrasound, no MRI machines. None at all. Even then, on the top of it, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he did not know how to read and write.
That God transmitted through Muhammad bits of his knowledge that we have only discovered for ourselves in recent times.
1,400 years ago, when the world was immersed in darkness, the Quran was revealed, which brought light to a beleaguered world. And whereas the earlier books came with many scientific mistakes, due to the hand of man having delved into them, the Quran had none of these contradictions. The world thought there could be no reconciliation between religion and science. But the Quran mentioned many scientific facts in great detail, like how a human being developed in the mother's womb, and described other scientific facts which amaze the world's renowned scientists and scientific community.
There were no encyclopedias at that time. So out of the 6,000 verses of the Quran, no less than 500 of them, they deal with science and nature and scientific facts.
Facts, not fiction.
Facts. Now, if you ask any scientist, any cosmologist out there, how did the universe came about to be? They will say that the heavens and the earth, they were in one primordial mass. And there was a big explosion about 14 billion years ago. And from that explosion came about to be all the sun, the stars, the Milky Way, and all the planets. What does the Quran say? The Quran says in chapter 21, verse number 30, do not the unbelievers ponder, see that the heavens and the earth, they were joined together. And it is God who has set it asunder.
That's mentioned in the Quran, the verbatim
Quran,
word of God.
Yes. A human being, 7th century, could not have formulated that, number one. Number two, it says in the Quran, chapter number 41, verse number 11, that in the initial stage after the explosion, the universe was like a smoke, like a mist. And that later on condensed to form all the different celestial bodies. Quran says it, science proved it.
It's a fact.
Fact number two. Fact number three, we have discovered last century in the 1960s, by the red shift and the blue shift, that the universe as we know of, it is expanding. All the stars, they are moving away from each other.
Scientific fact.
Scientific fact. They won the Nobel Prize in 1963 or so.
Yes.
Quran says in chapter 51, verse number 47, that it is Allah who has created the heavens and He is expanding it.
It's mentioned in?
In the Quran, in this book up here.
In the Quran.
1400 years ago, way before any science. Now, when it comes to the shape of this earth, people used to think earth was flat. They used to think earth was like a disc floating on water or with four pillars, whatever. Quran says that earth is like a shape of an egg, like an ostrich egg. Chapter 79, verse number 30. Right? When it speaks about how a baby develops inside the mother's womb, with scientific accuracy, it says in chapter 23, verse number 12, 13, and 14. When it describes the mountains and the roots of the mountains, chapter 78, verse number 6 and 7, it says that mountains have pecs, they have roots in there. So 500 scientific facts of that nature, without any error, in 14th century, proven now, could not have came about in this book, written in 1400 years ago.
It's not like, okay, maybe there's 60% right, and then there's 40% wrong, 100% correct from what we know.
100% correct. All 500 of them, no single error, no scientific inaccuracy, proven in our time. And there are many different scientists, like Dr. Keith Moore, Marshall Johnson, Joe Simpson, Maurice Bukai, and on and on and on, who studied the Quran in Arabic and English for many years. They all came to proclaim that this book, these words cannot be from a human being. It has to be from the Creator.
They've said this. These are people who specialize in this area of science.
Exactly. They are the specialists. They are the topmost scientists. Like Dr. Keith Moore is the number one embryologist in the world.
We're going to take a break and we're going to come back and wrap it up here on The Dean Show. You don't want to go nowhere.
comes to you the truth and the attribute of the one who created you, that he's one and alone running this universe, that he doesn't become born, he doesn't die, he doesn't eat and go to the bathroom. This is not God.
The problem here is,
yeah,
it doesn't make sense. Who was Jesus worshiping? Because it's recorded in the Gospels. Despite all of the other issues about the Gospels, we put those aside. We just say it's mentioned there that Jesus worshiped God. One who protects us from hunger.
Back here on The Dean Show, we were giving you the top five arguments. We're still on number one with Dr. Seville. Take it away, Dr. Seville. You're talking about the facts, not fiction, that's mentioned in the verbatim Word of God, the Quran.
Yes, so one fact that I would like to dwell upon would be a fact about embryology, how a baby fetus develops inside the mother's womb. It says in chapter 23, verse number 12, 13, and 14, it goes over the stage from fertilization and how the organs develop, and how, you know, eventually when the baby develops. So it says in minute details about when embryo is about 6-7 days old. So the way it describes it, that it is a leech-like substance. It is lodged in the mother's womb in such a way that it is extracting the nutrients. And the shape, the morphology, the functioning of it, it's precisely described. And this was discovered only by using very high-powered microscopes. A person with the naked eye could not have seen these things, which are only so minute without microscope, way back 1400 years ago. So this again testifies that this information cannot have came from a human being.
Muhammad could not have known these facts about human development in the 7th century because most of them were not discovered until the 20th century.
Human beings make mistakes. Right, 500 scientific utterances without a single mistake, it is scientifically, mathematically impossible.
Now I'm going to play devil's advocate. Someone said, you know, back then some of the Greeks, some of the philosophers, some of the people of knowledge, they made some of these predictions and Muhammad, he just copied or he heard from them. What do you got to say?
All right, fine. Those Greek scientists, you know, they were good scientists. They made scientific accurate statements. Along with scientific accurate statements, they also made inaccurate statements. Okay? For example, suppose if you have two students, one B student, B as in boy, and one D student, D as in David. Suppose if the D student is copying from the B student in the final exam, which is bad by the way, and at the end of the day, if the B students will get 80%, do we expect the D student to get 100%?
No.
No, because if he's copying from the B student, he'll be copying the right answers and he'll be copying the wrong answers from the B student. But the Quran has all of them 100% accurate. So if the Quran would have copied from the Greek, Roman, Egyptian scientists, how come the Quran left out the inaccurate statements or only extracted the accurate statements? Unless it is coming from the Creator himself.
It's impossible.
Impossible.
And that was number one. Now let's wrap it up with a call. We said for someone to accept the way of life that will grant them peace, happiness, success, not only in this life, but also in the hereafter, they have to say what the atheist said, a part of it, that there's no God, that God's not a man, a woman, he doesn't have a DNA, he doesn't walk the earth, he doesn't have a zip code, an area code. This is not God. So sure. Tell us, what's the natural way that already the light bulbs come on, because you've given some fabulous arguments, and I think only a person who's not being sincere and rational and wants to continue following their desires, they might tune off. But I think they even are tuned on. So what's the natural call? Talk to us, Dr. Seville.
So after you have listened to these five arguments, a person, a logical, rational person, would say, okay, fine, you know, if I had doubts in the belief of God, now I know, using science, logic, philosophy, history, that God exists. If God exists and there are so many religions, how do we know which is the right one? And we have just shown to you that God has given to us the final testament in the Quran. So this is the right message, and Islam, which is submission to one God, is the right guidance that God has given to us. In there, a person will find solutions. Everyone wants to know, what is the purpose of life? Are we just here to make money, work day in and day out? Or is there more to life? So God says in the Quran, chapter 51, verse 55, that the purpose of life is to worship the Creator. So once we do that in the holistic sense, we will find peace and purpose. And then a person will have solutions to all the problems that the person is going through. Solutions to the society. Solutions of economic problems, of drugs, homosexuality, broken families, any problems, Islam has solutions to it. So if a person ponders about Islam, looks at the evidences that God has provided to us, and embraces it, that means the person would have peace and purpose in life and paradise in the hereafter, inshallah.
That's right, simple as that. And there's a number coming up right now below the screen. There's no God except the one God. There's no deity worthy of worship except the creator of the heavens and earth. And if they want to put the key in the door, if they like what we have to say, they want more information, they want to talk to you, they want to talk to somebody else, and they just need some extra motivation, they can call 1-800-662-ISLAM.
Yes, indeed, inshallah.
Thank you very much, Dr. Seville, for being with us here on The Dean Show. We look forward, inshallah, to having you back again.
Thank you very much, everyone.
And that was our brother, Dr. Seville. He gave you the top five logical arguments for the existence of the creator of the heavens and the earth. You don't have to look very far. You just got to look deep inside yourself. And he gave some beautiful examples. And then you look outside of yourself and you see everything in this universe. Design indicates a designers. And that designer is no other than the creator of the heavens and earth. Jesus, he called him by the name Allah. In Arabic, we say Allah. And there is no God, like you agree, except Allah. He's not a man. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't rest. He doesn't have children. He doesn't do the things that human beings do. He is the creator. Everything else is his creation. That is where the confusion probably came up. And you saw all the contradictions in that way of life of your parents and your forefathers. But there is not one contradiction in the Quran. Dr. Sabil gave some beautiful evidences, and the Quran, Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth, he makes a challenge. If this Quran was from other than the creator of the heavens and earth, you would find contradiction, discrepancies. Find one. There's so many facts you can ponder over, and it's there, but you got to be sincere. You got to want the truth. And death is a reality. Death is a reality, and that's what makes this topic, this, more serious. We want to be successful in this life and the hereafter. And there's nothing better than that peace and contentment, that satisfaction you get from knowing the purpose of life. And when you die, getting paradise. And we want you to be in paradise. So give us a call, 1-800-662-ISLAM. You can also see our new, listen to our new radio show at thedeanshow.com blog section. Tune in every week. We're here to help you develop a better understanding. We'll see you next time, God willing. Peace be unto you.
He created the universe. To him belong the heavens and the earth. The ever-living, he is the first. He's the owner of mercy. He sent his messengers to warn his creatures of the grave dangers of worshiping other than Allah. There is none greater than the Creator.